The World Show with Nikki B. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. The best in African music on The World Show with Nikki B.
I'm Nikki B, yes, and talking about the best in African music. Right now we have a woman who is totally committed to the best in African music. Pilani Bubu, welcome. It's long overdue. This
I know. I'm so happy to be here, but I feel like it's perfect timing. Thank you, Nikki.
Yes. No, it's perfect timing.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got a new album coming. You've got this incredible project. But before we even go there, I just want to take a minute because we've got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
To talk about you. You've been traveling the world.
Yes.
Working hard, working on your new album. And, of course, this festival, the Folklore Festival coming up.
Yes, I have.
Yes.
So, basically, there's a lot that's been going on. I've been doing what I've been doing for 10 years. And when it comes to kind of falling in love with, you know, just kind of the continent, it's been like a 10-year journey. So this festival and the work that I'm doing currently in my projects, Folklore, as a music project and one that explores kind of African storytelling, and also Folklore as a festival, is just kind of the coming together of 10 years of journeying and searching and realizing that there is so much here, so many stories to tell, and I want to be a part of that. I'm kind of that child who grew up as the MTV generation. I'm that child who fell in love with R&B and fell in love with Kwaito, and there was just so much diversity in music, but choosing a path, or at least committing in parallel to the many things that I do, to be a part of the world music space, but to be a part of just kind of African storytelling, has been a long time coming. So Folklore Festival is birthed out of my project Folklore Chapter 1. Yes. That was my third album. So I started with Journey of Heart, Warrior of Light, which is inspired by so many different things, different stories. And Folklore was that story that I wanted to tell about my identity, about my people, about how I'm navigating life, about men and women in my country, me being part of that structure. So it really explores like our culture from many different facets. It's like conversation starter, but also it is an exploration of folk music, reinterpreting things, but finding meaning, interweaving spoken word. And so that's how I kind of expanded the conversation into platforms like Folklore Firesides, Folklore for Kids. Yes. And those two things together are conversations that amalgamate at the Folklore Festival this year. And so the project that's coming up, Folklore Chapter 2, is just an album series that continues these conversations, one that explores African spirituality and one that explores African practice, but one that explores the conversation between children and ancestors, whether living or dead. How do we kind of do the knowledge share? How do we intuit our lives and our identity? And that's the journey that I'm on, and it's so personal to me. And this particular project, Chapter 2, before I give it all away in one sweep, is really so, the first one was very interpretive. This one is very inspired, mostly original music that came through dreamscapes, me asleep, dreaming up rhythm sections, finding myself in a place, me visiting the village in which I'm from, and just kind of like drawing from the environment and the space, you know? Yes.
So where are you from?
I am a girl from Eastern Bondoland, a little town called Lusikisiki, though I was born in Umtata during apartheid in the Transkei, and I was very much culturalized in that space. I grew up there till about like 11. I moved to Joburg when I was 12, but always go back and forth, you know. So my proximity to, I suppose, the knowledge system was quite close when I was young, indigenous knowledge system. So I grew up kind of being taught these songs, folk songs, by like royals who were family members and who lived down the road from us, who really kind of helped us find that place. But you know, somewhere along the way you kind of travel and realize, oh my soul, I want to be a part of capturing and documenting all of this. So yes. Yeah, I'm a Transkei girl.
Because as you were saying as well, you kind of came and got into the urban life and the urban lifestyle. Yes. And the urban music.
Yes, indeed, I did.
So in a way, this is really going back to your roots.
It is.
But I suppose presenting it in a way which is relevant.
Absolutely.
To modern times.
It is. And really, that's what it is. For me, I believe that we are evolving as a people. And I believe that there's always that lineage, or that part where there's a connection point. The ancient is so spiritual. The ancient is so healing. The ancient ancient can teach us. The ancient can be a building block. The ancient doesn't always have to be upheld for what it was because it served a time. So we are responsible for moving things forward because obviously the modern stands on that ancient. And the Folklore Project is driven by the idea that music as a technology can house these considerations. It's not complete thoughts. It's not final ideas. It's provocations of like concepts that we are exploring and still living with and blending those into our modern lives and making them more contemporary. Absolutely.
Pilani, what a joy you are. I'll ask you one question and you tell me the whole story. I love it. But we've got so much more to discuss.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think before we go there, let's have a sneak peek of what's in store of your forthcoming album. When will it be released?
So I'm aiming for January, I'm hoping.
So it really is.
Yeah, next year.
First heard on the World Show. I'm so excited. It's absolutely beautiful. Maybe you want to introduce this song. Ekuseni.
So this one's a beautiful one to touch on. So there's the Folklore Chapter 2 album, or the Folklore series as an album, is an album of five series. The story is one to beginning, middle, and end.
Yes.
And Ikrecha was the song that was like an a cappella ending song of chapter one. So as we open the new chapter, it's to remind people where we began, but also because it's so much about African spirituality, and Ikrecha is a healer. And that's particularly the journey I'm on, being an Intuit, being someone who kind of like downloads music and channels it for the purposes that I'm going through, as at least as someone who works through the music.
Yes.
And just it talks through the journey of the project in its entirety. So it's like the opening song. Ekuseni is track two, actually. So you get a medley right now.
Okay.
And it is the title track of the project, Folklore Chapter 2, Ekuseni. And so it's the opening of the story when a child is being summoned by her ancestors to answer her call. But let's leave it there.
Let's hear the song. Pilani Bubu. This one is off a forthcoming album, but I'm sure we're going to have time to play something off Folklore Chapter 1 a little bit later on today. We've got lots to cover on The World Show. Absolutely beautiful. Yes. First heard on The World Show. Wow. Gicha Ekuseni. Am I getting it right?
You just got it right.
Oh, good. Pilani Bubu, that one is off her soon to be released Folklore Chapter 2. And let me tell you, I've had a sneak peek of the whole album and I'm blown away. I can't wait till it's... In fact, you know, I'm going to save speaking about that album. I think when it comes out, January, Feb, we've got to get you on the show just to focus on that album.
Please, that'd be wonderful.
Yes, and as I said, long overdue.
Long overdue. I've been traveling to the people who love you, constantly telling me, we're sending this to Nikki B, and I just can't explain to them why you and I have not yet like connected.
There's
you
no know? Reason.
Yes. Because our plan is definitely to release it in Europe and then spread it out. But it would be great if you can do the send-off.
Yes.
Right?
No, I'd love to. We're definitely going to speak about that after the show. We're going to look already at...
For the dates.
At making a date and a commitment. But now, this concept of folklore, and you touched on it earlier on. Is it through doing your albums that you decided to do a folklore festival?
Yes, it is indeed. So what happened was, when I sort of started writing Warrior of Light, which is my second project, when I released Journey of a Heart, I worked with RJ Benjamin. It was a very soulful project, but very diverse, telling a story of love. It what broke me open to write again as someone who kind of stopped music, then came back to music 10 years ago. And I traveled to New Orleans. And when I got there, yes, I was inspired to write more music as I kind of started performing. But there's something about me being an African woman and having a sense of place and presence that reminded me that actually there's a bigger story that I can tell when I travel. So when you travel, people ask you more and more about like your home, your people, and you start storytelling naturally. Yes. And so I started kind of seeding in songs in the repertoire that allowed for that conversation to happen. Some traditional folk songs, and that kind of allowed me to also start writing in that way, inspired by the writing styles, inspired by percussive vocals, inspired by the languages. So it was a natural journey which is really about leaving, but then coming back to a place that reminded me there's so much to unearth, there's so much to tell, there's so much to share. And we don't want it to be homogeneous because there's so many of us, we're so diverse that we all got to do our job in this folklore piece. So I wanted to create a platform and a stage for all of us to come together to do that job, whether we're Ghanaian, Kenyan, do you know what I mean? From Lesotho, yes. All the diverse 12 tribes, well, 12 tribes, and like the two other languages like English, Afrikaans, but you know, yes. The many tribes of this country.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love that. And also, oh, there were a couple of things I was thinking about when you, sorry, I got lost.
About
in the
like
whole
being
journey.
Inspired by the journey, yeah, to come to this. It yes. was a natural progression.
Oh, that's what I was going to say is like sometimes you have to go very far to find what is actually closest to us.
True.
And it, in a way, sounds to me like your travels helped this to happen.
It really did for me. It's kind of like the book, The Alchemist, when he kind of like is sleeping right under the tree where his treasure is. And Brahima Sekela said it a lot. And it takes time to understand when he says that all that treasure and all that you need is just here in the heritage and the culture of your people.
Yes.
And you sometimes don't realize how rich and deep that messagery is. So for instance, we all know that, you know, over time we've been so focused on fighting either inequalities or apartheid. And as a post-apartheid child, I realized the sense of euphoria you get from that is kind of celebrate the world in the global space.
Yes.
But eventually we were all going to come back to realize that there are certain jobs that haven't been done. Like in chapter 2, I'm addressing the proximity of children and their parents and grandparents and how we don't have a structure in our families anymore that allows for knowledge transfer.
Yes.
And you then realize it's actually up to us, the individuals, to go search and seek. But maybe as storytellers, it's up to us to document. And that's really a big part of seeing the world and understanding that, okay, now that I've seen all that there is there, not all of it, I mean, I haven't been like everywhere, but I've been to a fair amount of places to go, actually, the most important story that I can ever tell is the one that is unique to me. And it is the one that I truly understand from lived experience.
Yeah. And I always say to artists, start with what is closest to you.
Yeah.
But on that note, the Folklore Festival is coming up and I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be part of it as well.
Yes.
But I think the thing that struck me as I've been reading what you're doing with it, who you're bringing, what the day promises, I think I've been so refreshed because, you know, when I started the show 25 years ago and there was this whole world music explosion and it was amazing. You could go to what were then the CD stores and have a whole like section which was on world music, and that kind of fizzled out.
Mm.
And there was, you know, and I know there's been in more recent times this kind of, what can I say? People are saying they don't like the term world music. And I mean, I didn't like it when it came about. But I learned to embrace it because it is of the world. You can play anything.
Mm.
But I think one of the things that's so refreshing for me with the Folklore Festival that you're bringing is that you are tapping into the folklores, the folk musics, the folk cultures, folk meaning people.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And for me, this is almost like a brave step. Because so many people are doing either jazz or electronic, and very few people are, you know, putting a limb out, going all out and saying, let's keep the roots going.
Yeah.
The urban, contemporary, modern, they may be, but let's keep those roots going.
You know, from a personal perspective, and I'm getting a little bit emotional, I've always been inspired by folk music. You know, at the core of everything that I do, anything that I write, will always be kind of this fusion. I call it jazzy folk soul. It's always going to come from that place. And I think maybe that's a part of it that drives it for me. And I think as someone who has always been drawn by that space, I've always realized how niche and intimate it can be. And I've almost forgiven myself for, not even forgiven, it's almost embrace the idea of that sort of niche, very intimate space. And it's been a journey that I've walked, you know, kind of accepted that I'm here for a long time and I'm not racing for like numbers, but I definitely am and working towards like a quality experience and contributing to the legacy of my country and a legacy of my people rather.
And your continent?
And the continent as a Pan-Africanist. And, you know, and yeah, I spend a lot of time, you know, traveling and performing here instead of kind of overstating the need to be anywhere else. And it's true, that the sense of community in the folk, it's hard to sell.
Yes.
On the lineup, we don't have, I mean, our big ticket items, whatever they call it, is the soil. Yes. And it was a challenge for me to think about this lineup and go, oh my, bringing in all these Pan-African artists, nobody knows them. Yes. But for me, it was important that we solidify the idea of what we're trying to do. If this year we really convince people of the idea of something, maybe next year they're the ones who can help us make it more attractive or bigger to a greater audience, or mass market, as they call it.
Yes.
But yeah, I'm very excited at the idea that the folk space is, you know, pushing itself into this, trying to be a massive platform.
Thank you. Thank you.
Look at me, I'm scared to say it. Like pushing itself bravely.
Well, no, it's a brave step. All the way. It is brave.
Yeah.
It is courageous. And I thank you for doing this.
Aww.
It's going to be something so special. Let's look at the details when we come back from the next song.
Sure.
Because this is one of the artists that is going to be performing. Tell us about Steva Atambire.
Steva Atambire I discovered through one of the Kubalo, who's a good friend of mine. I traveled a lot to Ghana, and the work that they've done together really struck me, and the stories that One Love would tell, that he sings at graveyards for funerals, and it's almost like he's a ceremonious performer who tell stories in the moment. He's spontaneous. So someone will come to a gravesite and tell him, like, this is Nana or whoever it is who's being buried here. And they tell the whole story through music.
Beautiful.
But other than that, just the idea of maintaining the history of the Kologo, you know, brave enough to say that it came before the oud, before the banjo, and telling stories that are really rich of Ghanaian history. And so I believe that he's an indigenous knowledge system holder, and we want to have him here to share his skills sets and his knowledge and inspire the children that we'll be working with them at the National School of Arts, but also for South Africans to also see artists like Steva Atambire and reflect back that we also have to do the job of maintaining some of these indigenous knowledge systems. So he plays something called the Kologo, which is a banjo from Ghana, and he sings as well. He's part of a band called Alos Man, and currently working with One Love the Kubalo. He will be coming with One Love the Kubalo here. One Love the Kubalo is part of a band called Folk and Boy, but I don't know if we have enough time to dig into One Love right now. Should we dig into Kologo and like...
Well, let's hear this track first.
Yeah, let's hear a track. It's them together.
Yeah, oh, this is them together.
Yes.
You're absolutely right.
It's beautiful. Them together. So you'll get a good sense of that blend between the two and the world that they bring together. It's kind of like fusing that sound of Kologo, but also very electronic.
Yes.
So it's worldly. It's a good... It's contemporary in its way.
It's folk music.
Indeed.
Steva Atambire, one of the artists that is coming to perform at the Folklore Festival. We're going to give you all the details on the other side.
No, they call me Atambire Ayoma, but inside this music, people know me as Steva.
Yes, thank you, Steva. Steva Atambire, the album's Teach Me Kologo, featuring One Love, the Kubalor. Thank you, Pilani Bubu, for bringing me that song and for bringing these artists to South Africa.
You're most welcome.
I'm so excited that you're doing this and that it's being done.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, I really feel like such a strong affinity to this show as well, like the work that you're doing. And I suppose all that I'm doing is kind of bringing it live, you know, and you know, because this is the sonic landscape that you've been creating for years and years, sharing this kind of music. But I think it's time we really go and like experience it here in our own country, you know?
Absolutely. So let's talk about it. It's happening on
the 1st of October.
Yes.
From 10 a.m. till late.
And why the whole day? Why does it start early?
Oh my goodness. You know, I was designing posters and doing flyers for the book authors. There's just so much to cover. I think that what we're trying to say here is that folklore, beyond just music and, you know, kind of the main stage, is really inhabiting many, many spaces. So we have a book fair of young authors and old authors who write children's books for African children. So there's an entire section in the kids' in the kids area that's rich, that requires like 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. where parents can drop off their kids.
Yes.
We have Zuleika Patel. We have a young author called Siavuya, who's 10 years old, who's written a book, and four other authors who'll be sharing their books with the kids. We, of course, we've got games and everything else. We've got edutainment. We've got performance play with Toys with Roots, where they teach kids like riddles and rhymes in their languages and sing-alongs, and also a drumming workshop that they can attend, as well as how to make indigenous instruments and play instruments. There's just so much to learn and share. We also have workshops for adults, like Afrofusion dance, drumming, and then Napo Mashiane is going to talk about African storytelling in theatre as a thespian, but she'll also be on the main stage as the MC. And we have a food and crafts market, so we just want to get people in early. It must be their Saturday agenda to learn and to play, you know?
And something to do with the children, with the family.
Absolutely.
That's what I want to see, more and more of that.
Right.
You know, more events where we can take the
our
children.
Our kids, yes, together, you know? Yes. And folklore really is that thing. It's a shared experience. And we can't just start at like 8 p.m. and, you know, dance it away.
Yes.
It's really an all-day conversation. So on the main stage, we have, well, One Love and Steve Atambire. And we have The Soil, who'll finish off. Yourself.
Yes.
Myself and the Folklore Ensemble will be playing a bit of Folklore Chapter 1 and Folklore Chapter 2. Leomile from Lesotho, who's coming in with her band. She says she's inviting some special guests. So if people want to do a little research on Leomile, you might be able to guess who she might be bringing.
Yes.
She's also another folklorist from Lesotho.
Yes.
And then the National School of Arts. Now, the special reason why this is being held
yes.
at the National School of Arts, I think for the last 8 years, so some of my work, you know, in this life is to work with kids.
Yes.
And I've gone through so many different ideas of how to get closer to the younger generation. And it's like folklore is like the one place where it just feels like it can completely house itself. It just, it felt that we should be in an educational institution. It felt that we should be so in close proximity with the kids. And the National School of Arts just seemed to be the most befitting. Also because there's so much to treasure and to harness there. We're contributing 15% of our ticket sales to the National School of Arts to keep it going. People don't understand that, like, this, some people don't know in the spectrum of Johannesburg that the school exists and what its needs are. And the school does have needs. But beyond needs, the school has so much talent. Future holders of our heritage, future holders of kind of our knowledge systems.
Yes.
The National School of Arts is performing with their orchestra and a 35-piece choir.
Amazing.
They'll be performing a repertoire of music from North, South, East, West Africa. Their music department is presenting a show called African Reflections. And a few of us will be guesting on that show as well. So Steve Orr and One Love will do a song with them. Papillion will do a song with them.
Yes.
And Leomile will do a song with them, and so will I. And
amazing.
It's really going to be a spectacular show.
You know, I love this. I love the fact from what, just even the thoughtfulness of working together with a school and a school like this. I'm just going to take a moment to talk about the National
yeah.
School of Arts, because people might not realize this is a school where you, a normal school where you can go and get your matric.
Yes.
But at the same time, it focuses on people with artistic and creative gifts. So whether it's music, whether it's the visual arts, theater, this is a place where your child can actually go to a normal school, but also have that focus on their gift, on the arts.
On enhancing
as well.
That gift.
On an enhancing. And I mean, I know so many great artists from all different genres that have, I mean, from all different fields
yes.
that have come through that school. And the school nearly closed down a year or so ago.
Right.
So I'm really pleased to see that. I think it was, you know, people actually gave donations to keep it going.
Right. We're working with a lady called
yes.
Brenda. I can never say her surname. I'm not going to try. Who's the artistic director who spends her day and nights working on finding solutions for the school. Sometimes students who can't afford the fees but are extremely talented.
Yes.
And she's been working on, she's procured like a new music director. There's a new school principal. There's just so much, so many beautiful things happening for the school.
Yes.
And they feel that this is really the time for them to kind of, it's like the biggest open day they could ever have,
yes.
you know? And yeah, the fact that the school almost closed down and there's so many, you know, kind of alumni members, there's an opportunity to create that kind of a space to connect. When I met with Brenda, it felt like they needed something where people can come together with a reason. Because we're all busy. We go on with our lives and we're all trying to patch, you know.
Yes.
But if we can create occasions, then surely it'll give, you know, we'll pay more attention to what's needed. We'll remember that they exist. We'll know that they're so yes. talented and we'll understand their job. And I wanted them to be a part of the festival so that that is all highlighted for them and that we also continue to work with them throughout the year, not just on the festival platform.
Yes, I love it. You see how completely holistic this whole experience is. I'm going to remind you once again on the first Saturday, the 1st of October, Folktober, as we used to call it.
Right, at, I know. Yes,
at the National School of Arts in Braamfontein, this incredible event is happening for the whole family. Everybody's got to come from 10 a.m. in the morning till late. And of course, we're with the main director of this incredible project. We are going to run out of time and I want to play a couple more tracks. So let's hear this one from Leo Miele, who, by the way, quite some years ago, I think we were even in the other studios here, Leo Miele came to the World Child. I think it was a Moshito thing or something like that. So mm-hmm. she came as part of a group. So it's
I'm
really
glad that
nice.
You remember her. Memorable. Yes. Nice. Yes.
So, of course, now she's coming to the festival to perform. And this track, I think, is this going to give us a hint as to one of her guests?
I was thinking that it might. I'm crossing my fingers. It's true.
As much as I am.
She's yes. been mentioning on social media she's got special guests coming. She's yes. been telling the media. But I want to be surprised equally as the audience. So let's see.
Let's see. This track is from Leo Miele. Maybe I shouldn't tell you who is featured on this song. Let's see if you can guess. I want to see if you can recognize the guest on Leo Miele's song that's called Banaba Khoale. Coming from Lesotho, and of course she'll be performing as part of the Folklore Festival. Make sure you're there. Kaya 9 5 9, Bana Bahwale. She is the beautiful Leo Miele from Lesotho. And I don't know if you recognize the other voice there.
Should we give Miley. It to them?
Yeah,
there
it was Miley. I couldn't not.
Miley.
I wonder if she's going to come as one of the guests.
I wonder.
Well, I'm sure whichever guest she has are going to be beautiful.
Right. Yes. Absolutely.
So again, Leo Miele is going to be doing a set.
She will.
She will be performing there as well. Look, guys, you can see. How much do the tickets cost? Where can people
My
book?
Goodness, this is the part that yes. is the best part.
Yes.
The tickets range from 60 Rand to 250.
Wow.
If you buy now within the next week and you catch the early bird sale, you can get 5 tickets for kids under 12 at only 60 Rand per ticket, which only costs you $300.
Yes.
And if you buy now, you can get tickets for 160 Rand for adults and times 5. That's only $900. I don't know if my maths is correct. Listen, yes. I'm just a musician.
But bring the whole family.
Bring the whole family is the idea, you know. Yes. So if people could bring the whole family, it's going to be an amazing day. And I think the value is nothing.
No, like, the value is just...
For all of it.
For all of it. And again, 60 Rand...
For kids under 12.
Under 12.
Yes.
And this is the early bird
this
special.
This is the early bird special.
And 120, you said.
164 for adults at the moment.
Early bird.
And we've obviously got like kids... Yeah, early bird tickets.
Yes.
On Quick Hit. Folklore yes. Festival. Hopefully yeah. people can spell that. F-O-L, like folk, like law, L-O-R-E.
Yes, Folklore Festival. Also look on Facebook because there's a whole description.
Yes.
There is an event page on Facebook, the Folklore Festival.
It's
and
all
that'll
there.
Give you all the information
and
as
the
well.
Program is all set. You can download the maps, everything. We are ready for you. So we just need you to tell your friends, to tell your school groups, to tell your parent groups, to tell the, you know, all the play dates that you have that weekend.
Yes.
To please meet us all at the National School of Arts on the 1st of October at 10 a.m. It's going to be one of the best days of your lives, I hope.
And again, it's a full experience.
Yes.
Food, markets, workshops.
The kids experience full
experience.
On. And the main stage yes. of music, crafts, from jollof rice to umngqusho nomleqwa, you're going to find it there that day.
Come with the whole family.
Yes, please.
Yes. It's an absolute pleasure to be having a Pilani Bubu on the World Show with me. Of course, she's coming back soon in, I don't know, January or Feb.
I think about Jan-Feb.
Yeah, Jan-Feb to celebrate a new album. And that's when we get going to go deep into her work as an artist, not just as a promoter, yeah, a festival organizer and a multi-talented artist. But let's look at some of the other acts that are performing.
Yes, please.
The next one is Papillon Musa.
Yes, indeed. Papillon Musa is coming from Kenya. I met him in Nairobi years ago, and he is one of the most beautiful, healing voices I've heard. I mean, there are many, but yes, this is one that I really wanted to bring and share with South Africans. He is one of the first sort of musicians in recent times, they say, who really looks to redefine or design indigenous instruments. He plays the nyatiti, which is an instrument that originates from East Africa.
Yes.
So he'll be coming and performing, but I think that his music really speaks for itself. So should we dive into a song?
Let's definitely dive into a song. This one is Wendo, the artist is Papillon Musa. Check it out. He's going to be in Joburg on the 1st of October as part of the Folklore Festival. Kaya 959. Papillon Musa, the track is Wendo, and of course he is coming to perform at the Folklore Festival on the 1st of
Indeed,
October.
Indeed, he is. And I think that particular song he'll be performing with the National School of Arts and the orchestra. I mean, I can just hear it.
Yes.
It's just going to be beautiful.
This whole festival is going to be beautiful.
I know.
People, you have to come. You're never going to have these same artists
honestly,
on one stage.
We'll not bill them again next year. There's so many to cover.
Yes.
And really, what keeps me up at night,
yes,
is going, it could all happen, and awareness and visibility is the only thing. And the only way we can get that is if people share the details.
Yes.
1st of October, National School of Arts, Folklore Festival, tickets on Quickhit. Share with friends, family, schools, kids, groups, dance groups, singing groups, drumming groups, everybody's groups.
Thank you. Be there. I'm going to be there. I want to see you there. You've got to see you there.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming. I mean, who helped you with this festival?
So I personally, as a team, it's taken so many years to kind of like build the team and pull together. I really especially want to thank my manager of Kume Agency, Jess. And also just I pitched for sponsorships like all over the place. And really the arts organizations in South Africa at the moment are really putting, going big on helping the live music scene. So SAMPRA, the Development Fund, as well as the National Arts Council. The National School of Arts, of course, is, basically giving us the venue at got our social engagement. So they're on the bill. But Nedbank just kind of powering us from a real strong financial, yes, place and helping us like really push forward, have been helpful. And they're all about those better money decisions. And they believed that, if we support local, that's, yes, really our aim. And that's a good money decision, I believe.
Absolutely.
If you decide to come to us, a super local festival, you've done a good job with your money and you're going to get your value back. I promise.
I can't wait. Thank you so much, Pilani.
Thank
We're
going to
end with one last track from you. And this one is all Folklore Chapter 1.
Yes.
And of course, it's
a well-known folk song.
A well-known folk song.
I really wanted to reimagine it from a feminine space. From how we experience what it's like when men or young boys go for that rite of passage and they have to prove themselves to be men. And it's written from the perspective of women and children, as an observer. So I wanted to instill that vulnerability from our perspective and the questions I had. So it's a bit of spoken word and a reimagination of Qula Gwedin.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to have you back on the World Show.
Soon, soon.
Soon, beginning of next year. But otherwise, come along the Folklore Festival. You've got all the information. I've been talking about all these amazing events, and somebody else has asked me to mention something. I mean, I'm so busy this weekend, next weekend, the weekend after. But there's also a live experience by Tommy Mogorossi happening on the 24th at 2 p.m. So you can get there early. The performance is at 4 p.m. It's at the Hennops Country Venue in Centurion. So that's a Tommy Mogorossi, a live experience. Just add it on to your very, very full calendar. But once again, thank you so much to Pilani Bubu for the work that she's doing, both as an artist and in bringing us beautiful music. George Manuyosi is up next after the song with Jazzed Up, and of course he's going to keep you in the finest of musical company. From me, Nikki B, to you, whatever else you do this week, make sure that you keep shining. Of course, keep it Kaya. And here is Qula Kwedini from Pilani Bubu of her album Folklore Chapter 1.
Every Sunday from 6 to 9 p.m. on Kaya 959.